me feel so doggone blue to listen to that old smokestack. Drivers are rolling on, leaving me here behind. Give me back them good old days and let me ramble down the line. That lonesome train, I love to hear the whistle blow. She's taking the sun and leaving the rain and making me want to go. I've got the blues, longing for her company. Many miles from where I am to the only one for me. It's so lonesome here, waiting for the manifest. I hope that engineer is kind enough to let me be his guest.
Daybuck, go to Prairiemont, WAFT Champagne, 90.1 on your FM dial.
And Dave on the board. This is Sunday, January the 14th, 2018, and this is the Prairie Monk Show, WEFT's weekly look at the environment and rails, trails, greenways, and today we're going to be talking about some street planning here in Champaign.
Yes, and Illinois Nature Preserves Commission meeting. Yeah, a lot of information here, if I can struggle through it. The Nell Street corridor has been of concern for many, many years. It's a corridor that runs off of 74, which is a highway, with a cloverleaf, and then comes down to Champaign. When Nell Street hits Washington Street, the corridor is rather narrow. And there's a bottleneck there. There's not a lot that can be done at that point, but the corridor could be improved for a sort of economic value. So there have been several meetings about this corridor and some contractual planning. The planning has come up with a lot of input from citizens, and they've come up with three scenarios which are fairly much a working situation where they're using these three scenarios to give you something to bite into, and it may be that out of those three scenarios they combine them in various ways and leave off things in various ways to come up with a solid plan. It's the three scenarios, basically, very crudely to put it, one was that has to do with business on the corridor. One with perhaps apartments on the corridor, and one which is sort of a greenway. That certainly is putting it very crudely, because these are fairly large plans, and there are many details there. Some of them involve sidewalks, some of them involve widening the sidewalk, into the front of yards, which is a problem for people. That it also involves putting a four-lane road into a three-lane road with a middle lane that is often referred to as a suicide lane because you can be coming at both ends. But it's a very common practice if you want to reduce the volume of traffic going through. So one of the things is to perhaps slow down the traffic coming into town. It also involves thoughts about transportation of the semi-trailer type or transportation of the type that comes from the wall. The northern end of this corridor goes over 74 and drops into the Marketplace Mall. So there's not traffic that continues north unless you jump sideways. So we're mainly looking at a southern trip. It's two both ways, so it's not only southern, but my rather crude estimate of traffic numbers would be that most of the northern traffic to the malls comes on Prospect, not on Neil. But that may be my imagination. We're being asked to input without necessarily knowing a lot of the details that frankly take you a long time to accumulate. So we sympathize with the planners in their attempts to get input. There was a meeting, which I kind of appreciated, because often these sorts of planning meetings are show and tell with lots of storyboards, but no overall introduction. And some of us are aware of this, have been aware of it over many years, but there's still a need for a reminder of what might be and what is in the minds of planners and what are their innovations. And they're asking us for our innovations, and it's hard to do that without first having studied the plan in fairly detailed manner. So we have an introductory presentation. Then people are retired to tables around which 10 or 20, 15 people couldn't sit or stand and debate the various plans, and they're advised to move around to the various tables and talk to different people and to different planners. It was a little confusing because it was different from most show-and-tells I've been to. And there are people who were wanting to state their situation, which is very local. There were concerns about input of roads, and there were concerns about places that are outside the jurisdiction of this particular corridor. It really is confined to Neil Street, but the traffic comes from other places and the traffic goes to other places, and how do you do that? Philosophically, I think the city is wanting to slow the traffic and encourage traffic to find Champaign as an interesting and friendly place to be and to shop. It has competition. the most of the traffic coming to, for instance, sporting events, comes down Lincoln Avenue. And Lincoln Avenue backs up north to Olympian Drive, so it's not usually referred to as a ring road, but you have a ring road around Champaign, which includes Lincoln Avenue and Olympian Drive. So heavy traffic can come down there. It's only recently been completed to Olympian Drive. But that traffic can go south. It can go to University Avenue, or it can go south past the university if it's a sporting day. That seems to be the more logical site for traffic to come into Champaign. The university is a little on the west side of Lincoln Avenue, and it's certainly Neal Street is rather far across from the sporting events venues and places like that. There are two bicycle way potentials being discussed. One comes from what used to be Kmart, that people know as Kmart for a long time. It's on, follows the Boneyard down and has to cross Canadian National somewhere. That's one cross venue. Then there's another site where the old Wabash Railroad, just north of the post office, could go northwest toward Mahomet and Bloomington, or there's another branch that goes to Monticello and Decatur. This is the endpoints of these corridors are far outside the jurisdiction of this planning event. And so my interest is in the connectivity of bicycle ways. And we have put a lot of effort into various communities to have bicycle ways, safe bicycle ways. And regional planning has been involved in that, but mostly at the local level. I'm interested in how you get bicycles from Danville to Champaign-Urbana to Monticello to Decatur. It's not easy, and especially not easy to go through Champaign. So how do we input to a plan to cross Neal Street with the bicycle way? Neal Street is, frankly, fairly heavily trafficked. And walking and bicycling is not easy. You have to find your way around through the streets that are less traveled. I have in mind a plot of land that is about an acre and a half, and it's west of the post office. It is on what used to be called the Wabash Line. This was a line where freight coming from Humco and Kraft would go across Neal Street on the Wabash section and curl around onto the Canadian National and deliver its freight to the yards where it would be picked up. There was a derailment on that area, which forced the railroads, the Canadian National, to merge over onto Norfolk Southern line coming in from Bloomington. That line has been abandoned for 30 miles between Bloomington, Farmer City, and Mansfield. So there is the dream of how do you get into Champaign. You would come down that corridor somehow. That corridor happens to be very active because Cargill is a huge grain assembly, a supermarket of grain collection, and it has several branch lines that can load 110, 120 cars and take them out to Mansfield, where they meet another Norfolk Southern line that goes north-south. So we do have the potential to come in from Bloomington with a trail, but we don't know quite how, and sometimes it goes by a bicycle corridor parallel to the active line. But from my point of view, that takes out a lot of the greenway and a lot of our unchemicalized soils and native prairie. So I don't want to see that, but you're in the territory of two lines coming in. It used to be called the one coming in from Monticello used to be ICG, Illinois Central and Gulf, which is now Canadian National. We have a new, it's 5 years old, corridor board there called the Champaign, Havana, and Western Historic Railroad. And the attempt there is to get historic trains from Monticello into Champaign. We're re-railing 4 miles of Heartland Pathways bed and hopefully retaining use of about 10 miles of trackage that is still intact between Seymour, Bonneville, and Staley. The rail between Champaign and Staley is maintained for Kraft Humpco and gravel deliveries and plastic deliveries. It's active. It's not simple how you can do this, because when you strike a main line, you have to have a pilot to handle a train, and that gets to be costly. So, but with a few dreams and incomplete thoughts involved, the area just west of the Champaign Post Office, between Neil and State and Randolph, there is some open space. It's about an acre and a half, and it could be a place where historic trains could park. It could also be a rest stop for trail people coming through from the Kickapoo Trail. And we've talked about this before. If you're at the Kickapoo Trail, it terminates at Main Street, Urbana, but we'd like to think that this could come through north of the yards, the north of the southern yards in Urbana, across Vine Street, across near the Station Theatre, and the development of the Boneyard at that point, in front of Carl Clinic, across Lincoln Avenue, behind Provena or Presence, and then connecting up with a Martin Luther King trail that exists, and then down and under the Canadian National Main Line at, using Washington Street underpass, and back onto Market Street, and using the Wabash corridor, which has been abandoned, to get to the acre and a half I'm talking about. The acre and a half I'm talking about used to have a depot there, and it used to actually support a couple of railroad cars, which was the start of the Railroad Museum. Later, the Railroad Museum was moved to Monticello. Now, this sort of parking site is outside the jurisdiction of the Neal Street Plan, but it very much is on my mind as to how you get bicycles across that corridor, how you get perhaps even a train across that corridor if you eventually want to take a historic train to Urbana. So that was my looking at the planning event. Could we write on our little cards some comment which would include that thought? How do we get a venue for various events that might come to that acre and a half? And how do we get a train park there? How do we get bicycle way, people to stop there? And how does that relate to Neal Street? We're working at it. It may be that the Boneyard bicycle corridor coming through from Kmart to cross Neal Street, very close to the Cloverleaf, then it runs down through the North End community there and across Bradley Avenue, and how do you get it across or underneath the Canadian National? It's not easy to put underpasses in without you raise the railroad line, because you have a drainage problem. So we too might have to take that corridor through to Washington Street and under the underpass that exists there, and there's room for bicycles. You have to think about the traffic and the attractiveness of the Cloverleaf. Cloverleaf is had a hotel that's been demolished, and there's been restaurants removed there too. So it is sort of a barren area at the moment as far as business or apartments or nature is concerned. How could that be improved? So there are suggestions that go there. I am overall in favor of a greenway approach. I think that would be the less costly, and it would allow for upgrade, perhaps some inclusion of business and apartments. But basically, the city is trying to encourage people to enjoy that trip south, and and also handle the transportation. Most of the cars coming south are from the mall or going to the mall, and they hit Bradley Avenue. Bradley Avenue goes east-west across Neal Street. It has a wide intersection, so vehicles can move west if necessary, or they can move east. If they move east is a real problem, because they have to cross the railroad at grade, and the number of intermodal trains that are passing, they are rather long, and they occupy that road fairly extensively. So how do you get people in vehicles over or under at that point also? And that, again, is outside the Neal Street corridor plan, but it relates, because your traffic coming south doesn't necessarily want to get through a bottleneck at a downtown Champaign. You do have a lot of gentrification in downtown Champaign. Years ago, when malls started to come, then Neal Street was cut off with a mall, which was designed to be a friendly open-air mall that would attract business. Unfortunately, it didn't work very well. It was cold in winter and hot in summer and windy, because you create a corridor, you get wind. It's like downtown Chicago, where you get wind through the corridors. It also blocked the traffic. The traffic had to go through the streets of Champaign. And you have to know that Champaign has two plats. It has a plat that is parallel to the railroad line and a plat that is a north, south, east, west plat, which complicates the streets, and it includes one-way streets. So the traffic was confused as it came through. It took $1 million to put the mall in. It was obsoleted by the movement out of Champaign of key stores like Sears and Penny's. They went to the growing malls that were larger. So the mall was taken out. It took $1 million to take it out. And Neal Street was opened up again. You have to understand that Neal Street is, after all, a major drag. It's on the west side of the railroad bed, and basically the 45 going south parallels the railroad line all the way to southern Illinois. So you have to think about traffic coming down Lincoln Avenue and going south on Lincoln Avenue and perhaps past Windsor, past Curtis. Curtis now has an outlet onto 57, so he can go down 45, or he can go a little further west and go down 57. That's taken some of the pressure off traffic going down through downtown Champaign. You can even take, if you come off of Lincoln Avenue, you can go right south all the way to Coles County, to and further south without coming across to Canadian National and to 45 or 57. So there are thoughts there. How does something like MTD fit into this? They have buses. They have to park their buses somewhere. It's a narrow street. Where do they park to pick up people? They also are transportation people. A form of alternate transportation is bicycle ways. And how do you handle that? So MTD has a location in a banner which was on what was the old roundhouse for turning engines around. And they're right adjacent to the yards, so that they also carried bicycles. So you could understand how we could have a corridor across Champaign Urbana, where you could travel east and west across Neal Street without getting killed. It's an issue that needs attention. So there are also other narrow roads that could be utilized some, but they have narrow accesses and entrances. There's also a school system there, and a park, and it's difficult to look at a park and perhaps say we can utilize some of that for traffic, and that was not suggested. I was glad to hear that. But you do have a difficulty at Bradley, and also as you come closer to Champaign. We wish the planners well. We've left our notes, and they were writing notes and listening, And this is not an easy thing to do. It's a town that grew up like Topsy, with sort of ideas that came with early commercialization with the railroad line. So a lot of things are parallel to the railroad line. The railroad line is still there. There are vacated railroad lines. It's a complex thing. And Champaign County is not well drained, so you have to figure on things like a big dig, which takes a population of people out. You have to know that the North End, which was mainly black, had the sort of friendly atmosphere where each one teaches one, and it's a huge family. That is somewhat dissipated, and Latinos have moved in for a while. Title VIII, people coming from Chicago have some right to occupy territory in Champaign, Urbana. So the community is in dynamics. We encourage you to be excited about this and not to bothered by the fact that it doesn't always work. This is one of those things that is open-ended and will be in concern for perhaps 100 years or more. But I do encourage you to be looking at this plan and seeing how you would vote for its institution and what parts of it you could agree with and not agree with. It has overall connotations for Route 40, 57 and Route 45 and Route 74. My vote is for walkways and greenways and some business, but not a wall-to-wall business corridor, a little bit like you see on University Avenue, where there's five-story high buildings almost right up onto the road without any setback. We need a little bit of setback to give us room to think and dream and see some green space. So the planning is going on. Contact the city and see what you can add to the event. Not easy work. I wanted to say something about the Illinois Nature Preserves Commission meeting coming up on January the 23rd. It will be at Springfield, which is reasonably accessible. The meetings for the Illinois Nature Preserves Commission vary around the state, so at some stage you might be looking at a northern forest in northern Illinois, and other stages you may be looking at a wetland fen or a cypress bog in southern Illinois. So the meetings are moved around, so, and usually there has been some field access before the meeting. It's let me read a little bit about the nature of the Illinois Nature Preserves. The mission statement is this: the mission of the Illinois Nature Preserves Commission is to assist private and public landowners in protecting high-quality natural areas and habitats of endangered and threatened species in perpetuity through voluntary dedication or registration of such lands into Illinois Nature Preserves Commission. The commission promotes the preservation of these significant lands and provides leadership in their stewardship, management, and protection. So this has been an organization that's set up probably within the last 50 years. It's set up with a large input from the Natural History Survey and people associated with it, university professors like Dr. Charles Candy, who is an ornithologist, Larry Brillis, who is a professor of botany, and others who have pushed this into action. A lot of independent people who are out there interested in natural areas. It has a symbol of a cardinal, and you'll see it on certain places nearby. Prospect Cemetery, for instance, is dedicated to the Nature Preserves Commission dedication. I'll elaborate on this a little bit. I'll read their next piece of their mission, which is protecting natural treasures. A tapestry of nature's treasures is protected in Illinois by a nationally acclaimed program called the Illinois Nature Preserves System. From the Cache River basins, cypress swamps in southern Illinois, to the beach dunes along Lake Michigan, many of our state's most rare natural areas are protected as nature preserves. These last remaining remnants of our state's natural heritage are almost all that is left of the way the state looked in the early 1800s. Today, less than 0.1 of the landscape remains as it did when first seen by Illinois' early settlers. Permanently protected by state law, nature preserves are private and public lands that have rare plants, animals, or other unique natural features, ranging in size from 1 acre to more than 2,000 acres. Nature preserves protect tall grass prairies, oak groves, sandstone bluffs, wetlands, bogs, and other threatened natural areas. These lands are the last remnants of the Illinois wilderness, which provides homes for endangered species like the prairie white-fringed orchid, the prairie chicken, and chorus frogs. Without this protection, many of these exceptional areas would be lost forever. Currently, Nature Preserves protects over 900 occurrences of endangered and threatened plants and animals. In fact, more than 20% of Illinois' endangered species are in state-dedicated nature preserves. I attend these meetings every once in a while because I really regard what they do. There are 13 ecosystems in Illinois, as academics have designated. They run from white pine forests in the north to beach sand dunes to glaciated areas to wetlands, and at each meeting, the approximately 30 regional officers that belong to the Nature Preserves Commission arrive and present cases for natural areas that could be preserved as a nature preserve or a soil and water conservation easement. I just ran down the list of some of the bodies that were being looked at. One is the Grand Prairie Friends Warbler Woods, North Warbler Woods, and then followed by Bluff Area with Miscellaneous Forest, Upland Forest, and Kankakee Fen, Eagle Cliff Prairie, and a Wolf Road Prairie addition. These range from addition of 90 acres in the case of the Warbler Woods to create a 430-acre area in Coles County. The Bluff area is about 123 acres. I didn't put down the total for the Fen, but the Eagle Cliff was just 0.7 acres, probably adding to Lust Hill Prairie. And Wolf Road is a rather wonderful site in Chicago area where there was destined to be development. So it has all these unutilized streets in it, and the nature in there is absolutely wonderful. I brought my mother to it one time, and she got all excited and started to pick the flowers. Mm. But I had to say to her that this was not what you did with a natural area. There are so few of these wonderful sites that this is a unique site that has to be preserved. Let me say something more about the Grand Prairie Friends. They are dedicating or requesting for dedication as a soil and water conservation unit, 90 acres. And 90 acres now completes about 430 acres. So I'll try to read this. It's very lightly printed. Grand Prairie Friends seeks approval for the permanent registration of the 90 acres of Warbler Woods North as a land and order water reserve. Warbler Woods North is owned by the Grand Prairie Friends. It is located in the Grand Prairie section of the Grand Prairie Natural Division. Natural communities found at Warbler Woods North qualifies as a land and water reserve because it provides a significant ecological function between two permanently protected parcels, Warbler Woods Nature Preserves and Ombra Ridge Land and Water Reserves. To create a contiguous 431 acres of forest. Results of the breeding bird survey at Warbler Woods North conducted in 2016 listed 29 species of breeding season, I'm a little mixed up here.
Sorry, but keep going there, it's great, it's right. Including the 11 species.
Yes, that need to be conserved and is many of those species, or at least five, I think I read in here, were species that are sort of on the endangered list. Currently, there is a maintained hiking trail comprising of 4 foot wide dirt base and small aggregate rock place in areas to prevent erosion. the woods will be managed in accordance with the site management plan that provides detailed planned management activities. Removal of invasive plant species and the prescribed fire are the main strategies that will be employed to maintain biodiversity and forest structure. So I applaud the Grand Prairie Friends. We created Grand Prairie Friends about probably 35 years ago or something like that, and they've done very well, and they have representatives on the Prairie State Conservation Coalition, and they're thinking about they're a trust, so they have respectability. I'm still a little sad that they've moved south of the Mason-Dixon line for the Grand Prairie. The mission of the Grand Prairies was to try and preserve something in the area that of Champaign-Urbana and Champaign County, where there's almost nothing left. And it's very hard to do that. It's somewhat more productive in a sense to preserve forests. Everyone appreciates forests. They're not quite so appreciated of prairie. And if it is left alone, it acquires invasive species, and it acquires weeds from farmlands and even farmland plants. And it can all be so be only found along railroad lines, and they're kind of invaded sometimes. So we hope that the Grand Prairie Friends will keep their name of Grand Prairie Friends and come back a little bit into the center of the Grand Prairie in this very flat county and poorly drained county. They do have prairies. They have prairies at Loder, at Watseka, and so they're quite diligent about doing this. But I'm encouraging them because the prairie is much more an endangered ecosystem than the forest part of the prairie forest ecosystem. The forests were there, but not very many. In Champaign, we had a forest that includes brownfield woods, treeless woods, perhaps Busey woods. It was biodiverse area. There probably because it was drained a little better when you have a moraine and a river running from that moraine. The like of brownfield woods has perhaps 65 species of trees. The forest was a part of the prairie forest ecosystem. The one we have is called the Big Grove. It was where settlers first settled because there was wood for creating buildings. There was protection by the forest from the wind and also fire. And it was a place where you could live and breathe, and the prairie around it was often very swampy, and malaria was a problem. So we do have a need to preserve forested areas, but we also have a great need to preserve our modest prairie ecosystem. The there's been a lot of attempts to recreate prairies, like at Meadowbrook Park and other places. And
10 minutes.
So you can simulate a prairie, but the 100 species, once you get past 12 and 24 and 36 and perhaps 50 species, you're finding it hard to recreate a prairie. And you had to have a good prairie, you need a lot of acreage, like 10,000 acres or something like that, so that you will have a range of habitats into which the plants can grow and find their resources that they find helpful. If you're on a moraine, for instance, the cordgrass will be at the bottom of the ecotone. There'll be a big blue stem and Indian grass at a mesic level, and then on top of the ridge where there may be a xeric soil, little blue stem will survive, along with a bunch of plants that are almost the same as the mesic size, but they're much smaller, and they have their feet in luss, which was a wind-blown soil blown across from dried-up glacial meltways, and that can be very dry soil in the summer, very wet soil when you get rainfall on it, and so those creatures know how to survive. Along with all the plants are the animals, the insects, the small mammals that we would like to encourage. So I am still wanting to see that those areas are preserved. One of them is that we work on a lot is the Pope Prairie at Rantoul, just north of the cemetery at Rantoul. We are also, as Heartland Pathways, we've been encouraging preservation along railroad beds, and that for us has been an interesting challenge. when you acquire land like a railroad bed that's been abandoned, you don't always know exactly what you can do to preserve the prairie. Trails help to preserve the prairie, so you have the like of a Kickapoo Trail that is basically a recreational trail with a deal to preserve the railroad right-of-way. But that's the only place where we have a reasonable prairie in Champaign County. And so we talk quite a bit about having a narrow trail. And I'm interested to see that the Coles County application for working with the Nature Preserves Commission is a 4-foot dirt trail compared with perhaps a 14-foot wide trail with bitumen or crushed limestone. So last week we talked about the possibility of working with a 21-acre piece of land adjacent to Route 72 near to Monticello, owned by the Monticello Railroad Museum, and planted to CRPS, Conservation, Preservation, and Resources, I think it's called. It's more or less the old Soil Conservation Agency. And the planting is basically trees and prairie. And the question is, could Boy Scouts be involved in the preservation of a site like that? We have a number of those sorts of sites that come up, and so Heartland Pathways is a kind of open-ended institution, and its role in life is to encourage the preservation of that sort of site, the interpretation of it perhaps. What could scouts do? How could they interpret the area? Could they watch erosion on a slope? Could they put in a little thing that's called a lysimeter, which collects the soil coming down with erosion and measure it over the years? Could the Natural History Survey be interested? Could citizens be interested? How do you do this? Tom Scott, a railroad engineer who has had a lot to do with the Monticello Railroad Museum and is a president of the Champaign, Havana, and Western Railroad, which is wanting to get historic trains into Champaign. How do we work with railroad people? Engineers haven't always had the luxury of an association with biology, and how do we look at that? How do we include different groups with different interests? And can this be a simple linear do it and achieve it? And I'm thinking that this could be a site that would move into other generations and be in a perpetual site. That means that you have to work with agencies like the Monticello Railroad Museum that owns the site. Can this be associated with other sites nearby? Could there be a visitor center? The Monticello Historical Society has bought a barn, and it's acquired land from the Monticello Railroad Museum, so there's a cultural museum there. And just up the hill, there's this site that is very near an open space that also could be utilized. It's not CRPS. It's a natural area where between two railroad beds. One was the old interurban and one was the main line. And it expresses itself very well. It's a site where historic trains can move, and sometimes the sites are occupied by rail cars that are renting the line, so you can't always do that. But you're putting together the bones of a future that'll be around for many years. There are other small segments of property along by the railroad lines that could be a preservation site.
1 minute.
So I think that probably gets me for today. But think about how you go about preserving sites, and think about Neal Street as you travel it, and see what you could do to dream what might happen there. This is Dave Monk, your Prairie Monk, WEFT Champaign 90.1 on your FM dial.
And Dave on the board. And since we have a couple of seconds here, let me give you just a couple of brief announcements. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Day, and this evening, starting at 5 o'clock, there is a service of celebration at Cranard. As near as I can tell, this is free, starting at 5. Music starts at 4:30, provided by the community choir. Again, that's in the Great Hall at the Cranard Center for the Performing Arts. Also, tomorrow on this station, at 7 o'clock, we normally have the CU Radio Theater, and I believe tomorrow Juliet is turning her hour over to somebody else from the station, who will be doing a production having to do with, again, Martin Luther King Day. One final note is that we've been told that at the Tuesday Urbana City Council meeting, there will be a discussion of a referendum about, it says here, plumbing problems at the Dr. Ellis subdivision. So there you go, and it's now noon, and you're tuned to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM.